1. This is spiritual growth, lesson 3, called Growing Seasons. Anybody need a page 2? A page 2. Growing Seasons. Okay, let's give them a page 2. Pass that down to Mr. Zach. You got it? Okay. Anybody else? All right, here we go. Last time we ended on number 1, but let's go back to the paragraph underneath C. It's also interesting to note that Jesus often used things growing in the field to illustrate things that are invisible and to teach spiritual lessons. The point of using things that grow was for his disciples to not only look upon them, but learn from them, ponder them. And let's look at those verses. But before we do, how many times this morning, how many people looked up at the sunrise? Did you see how beautiful that was? Mm-hmm. It was just absolutely stunning. How many people? Okay. The moon. Okay. How many people here have seen some sort of wildlife?
Well, not this morning.
I saw a bobcat on Higby Road coming back from Tom's house almost to 119 or 109, whatever that road is where the stop sign is. I'm almost there, and I look, and across the field about from me to Wink, this big bobcat, a big male bobcat, comes out of the bushes, stops in the road, looks at me, and when he turns his head, he's got a big rat in his mouth. Oh, and then he jumps in the bushes to hide, right? And you couldn't see him because of the color and how the bushes are all brown, right? And I just got so excited. I said to myself, Lord, you made that cat and that rat, and you gave that rat to that cat. Thank you, Lord. I did. I really did. It was wonderful. It really is, right? So I bring that point to you because Jesus did the same thing. He used growing and the things of nature and he used it so that his disciples would think. So in other words, when you look at the sunrise or the sunset or the setting moon, or you look at it at a wandering bobcat or a dead rat, whatever it is you're looking at, it doesn't matter what it is, you should see God in it. And that's what this lesson is about. It's about seeing what God has created and seeing him in it. And how do we apply what we see? What could you apply from this beautiful sunrise this morning? What thought could you take and use in an application, June?
Part of God's creation.
Yeah, but that's not an application. That's an application. What can you use from this beautiful sunrise this morning?
I worship.
Okay, it brings worship to heart. What else? See how everybody is void in application? Mm-hmm. Application is everything. Come on, what else?
He's sovereign.
Well, what'd you say?
He's sovereign, but that's not application.
Well, it depends. If you say he's sovereign, and then you say he's sovereign in my life, and that sunrise proves it, then you're using an application. Then that means that tomorrow when I go to work, no matter what happens, I'm going to remember that he's sovereign and he caused it to happen. So end of story. Okay. Understand?
Okay. I always thank him for another beautiful day. And Jerry and I go out in the woods all the time. Every time we see some wild creatures or an owl or a herring or something, we always thank him for letting us see it.
Mm-hmm. But there's no application. You're there and you see a green heron standing in a thing fishing. Blue heron, excuse me. Well, there is green herons.
Are there?
Yes.
We kind of look at it like it was just meant for us to see. There ain't nobody else around in that. Thank you, Lord, that you let us see that. We were right here at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll give you an application for that. I'm sitting at the boat launch at Burr Pond looking, and there's a green heron across the thing. And he's moving very slowly because he's fishing. Mm-hmm. And he goes down like this, and he moves. And as I watch him, my mind says to my mind automatically goes to the spiritual thing of, that's me. I'm doing the same thing every day that heron is doing. I'm making a living. And God is going to throw a fish to that heron to eat. Doesn't he say in his Bible, it goes through my mind, the young lion gets his food from God, that the animals don't sow, but they reap? Because he provides it. Mm-hmm. And just like Wink, that heron would bring me into worship, and it would remind me that I'm just going through this life by his grace and goodness, and whatever happens is okay. That's the application of a green heron.
Yeah, you know how small you are and how
absolutely
you really are.
And that's another application, okay? And if God loved that heron enough, there's John 3:16 right there. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world. God so loved his creation that he loved that bird away. And who couldn't look at his creation? And even things that we might think is ugly, like hyenas and platypuses and huh?
He didn't love the fish.
No, he did love the fish because the fish lived a life before he got eaten. He lived a life that was good. And when he died, he didn't send him to hell. Right? He didn't send none of those animals to hell. So the point is, he loved them enough to let them have a dirt nap forever, and that's the end of it, and they're doing better than the people that are not saved.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yes.
So we have to understand that there's a lesson in everything in nature if we take the time to look into it. When I saw the sunrise this morning, you know what I thought? That's what's in my heart for you. I'm looking at something that I feel about you, just like that pale orange with the slate blue and the dark gray clouds around it. It was magnificent. And I'm doing 70 miles an hour looking at that. But it just
breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Okay. I'll repent later. Anyway. So what I'm saying is application, look for it. You got to, it's there if you look for it. And I'm going to tell you another reason why, or I'll ask you, why is it that if you, no matter what it is, you look at it, you will find an application if you think about it long enough and hard enough. Why?
The Holy Spirit.
Because you're indwelt. And that's what he wants you to do. What's the first commandment? And God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But in addition to not perishing, if God is for us, who can be against us? Shall he not give us everything if he gave us his son? So if he gives us a heron, or he gives us a sunrise, or he gives us a bobcat, if he gives us a snake. Where was I? I saw a snake this before it got real cold. And I thought it was a garter snake. And I said, Lord, that poor snake is still crawling since you commanded it to crawl in the garden. I did. I looked at it and that's what I thought of. That snake is still crawling because you commanded that snake, Satan, the serpent, crawl, never come off his belly. And there it is. You see, when you look at God through the eyes of Scripture, and you look at God through the love that should be in your heart for him, every single moment is a new adventure. It doesn't matter what it is. I was driving, and this truck came over. He missed my side mirror by this much. You know how they're close? You go, ugh! You grit your teeth and you sort of crunch up everything and say, uh-oh, this is going to leave a mark. Well, anyway, I did that, and he missed. And even in that, I said, Lord, it had to be just the width of my guardian angel's finger that kept us from having a problem here. Thank you so much. Every single thing has a spiritual connection. I don't care what it is. And if you look at it long enough, and if you don't have time, let's say you don't have time, you see the sunrise for a minute and you go away, put it in your mind and ponder it. That's what he's saying in our lesson. Listen to what it says here. Let's look at, where are we? Let's look at Matthew 6:28. You'll see it coming up. Matthew 6:28, June.
Okay. Matthew 6:28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin.
Everybody get that? Just what we're talking about. See? Lilies of the field. Lily pads on the water. Clouds in the sky. It's all, everything can be related to God. And how about the next one? What's the next one? 24:32, Mr. Wink. Go ahead. Let me just get there real quick. 24:32, okay. You're up.
From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as this branch has become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near.
Okay. Now, read the next verse, and that's the lesson. He used the fig tree as an example of a thing in nature, and then look at the next verse. He gives him a lesson.
So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Mm-hmm. And you should always read the next verse.
Yes, go ahead. I got that, yeah.
Truly, I say to you, this generation, the ones he was talking to, will not pass away till all these things take place.
Yep. And 35.
That's 35.
And 6.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So he stops there, and then there's a split there, and then he moves to the second coming, and he says, but concerning that
yes.
day, and our no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And if you read the rest of that chapter, you'll see that everything beyond that point is an utter surprise to everybody.
Yep.
Totally unexpected. That's a split between the 70 AD judgment and the second coming of Christ.
Yep.
What generation is he talking about?
The ones he was talking to, because he say, I say unto you, I say unto you, 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 you. If I said, I say unto you.
This generation shall not pass. That generation.
Every time you see this generation.
And the Arminians take this completely out of context.
Dispensationalists, yeah.
Yeah, dispensationalists, yeah. They make this a future event.
It's right there in the Greek. It says this generation, and then the verse says, but concerning that day. So mm-hmm. now he's moving off
yep.
of what's called a far demonstrative
mm-hmm.
in the Greek.
Yes.
But that's the second coming, verse 36.
The second coming.
Verse 36, everything beyond that's the second coming. Look at it, the flood came and didn't know it. It took them all away. It was sudden, you know.
See, like, verse 38, the flood.
Two will be healed, one will be left, and, you know, they knew not. And you'll see that all the way through the rest of
and what it. And don't they use that as the rapture, too?
No, they don't. They don't get that. They try to pull verses out. They have to.
Yeah, I
they
know.
They made the chart, and then they brought scriptures into the chart. That's you don't do that. Mm. You read the word.
Mm. If you believe, you got it. Yeah. Okay, let's look at that. Now let's look at some new material. Number two, I would also have you note that when Christ taught the inseparable connection between character and conduct, two important words, he used the analogy of a tree being known by its fruit. Matthew 7, 17 through 21. Matthew 7, 17 through 21. 17 through 21. Wendy. 17.
So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Okay. And go with 22 to 23.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Okay, so what he's saying, what is he saying? Yeah, so first of all, let's go to the tree thing, okay? So he says, you'll know them by their fruits. What does that mean, Tom? Right. And now some people would say, well, does that mean it's immediate? You'll know them immediately, or will it take a little time to know?
Time.
Why will it take time, June?
It takes a while to really know the person.
Okay. And what are you looking for when you're treating them as a Christian? You're treating them as a Christian, right?
Well, when there's something that comes up and then you know
how they
like
react
to it.
Like the
red flag goes up or whatever, yeah.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
I think because sometimes people put on masks.
They all put on masks. We all put on masks.
And then after a while, when your guard is down mm-hmm. or something happens, like you said, the true nature comes out.
And there's no uglier mask to God than the mask of depravity. In other words, person isn't saved, you're still depraved. And that means that you're putting on a mask of religion. And the mask of religion has nothing except wrath. That's all God will give that. Anybody, and that's, he even says that, right, at the end of the verse, right? And so it says over here, too, so that's the tree. And let me just go back to that tree thing. So what's the application for us? We'll know them by their fruits. What's the application for us? Come on, Jer. What's the application of you'll know them by their fruits?
Don't know.
Okay.
You know how to conduct yourself around them.
That's number one. You know how to conduct yourself.
Once you know you're dealing with a lost person, you can...
Yeah.
You deal differently. Correct. You always speak to the dead different than you speak to the living.
Yeah.
I was going to say discernment. You know, as you walk with them, you should learn to discern.
How do you discern? What is discernment? Thought you were going to get it easy, huh? No? How?
It's the ability to determine,
Somebody help her out, Carrie.
Good spirits from bad spirits.
Huh?
You should pray and ask God to discern good spirits from bad spirits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. But usually you don't pray. Usually a discernment is something that you have or don't have. There you go. She said the right word. A discernment is a judgment that you make.
Yes.
And it's based on looking at the tree.
Yes.
But sometimes the tree looks like it's bearing fruit, but it doesn't. And you don't know that unless you walk with them a while.
That's right.
Do you have your hand up?
I was going to say something. No,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say two things, right? First, from my experience, even though you know they're going to grow, each one of them have their own fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you just have to love everybody. Because, in a way, be nice to them. Be
love your enemies.
Love your enemies. And on its own, fruit will just produce yes or no. And then the other part of it is you have insight to some people after a while.
Insight's another thing for judgment, yeah.
Insight, because you can see exactly what's going to happen to make a decision, what's going to actually happen. And you look back and see, you know exactly what's going to happen.
When I say love your enemies, I say a respect for them.
Yeah,
there's not an intimate relationship.
Yeah.
And that sort of means that you treat them respectfully. That is, you don't yell at them, you don't beat them up with your Bible, you just tell them, you just talk to them like, and actually, I would even add to that, you should have great compassion on the lost.
Mm.
Great compassion. And the reason is because you have something that they don't have. And how many times, somebody told me this past week, they said to me that they were talking to somebody, and right out of the clear blue, this person said, well, I don't want to go to hell. And the person said to them, I forget what they said. But anyway, the point is, okay, when a person does that, they're being convicted. It may not be by anything you do. It may be by the Holy Spirit convicting them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a door to open. And you just have to understand you're speaking to a dead person. And anybody that says, you know, I believe in God, and I, right out of the clear blue, that's conviction. Something is convicting a person that does that, because that's not what a natural dead person does. The natural man does not just say, I believe in God, and I believe in this, and something is going on for them to come out of the woodwork and say that.
And that's for us to perk up.
And that's not just for us to perk up, but that's for us to understand, you know, what happens to people, and I know because it happened to me a long time ago. It doesn't anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore. but honestly, what happens is when people see a door open, they get excited, and the first thing that goes through their mind is, what about the verses? What about the verses? I don't remember all the verses. I won't be able to get all the verses. It has nothing to do with verses. You got to remember something. Your verses don't save God. Don't save people. God saves people. If you go up and you just said to a person, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You just gave that person a gospel, and the Holy Spirit, if it's convicting that person, will use it. Cause that person to say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, there's only one way not to go to hell. Through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. If you don't want to go to hell, do you want to go to hell? Ask him. Do you want to go to hell? No. Then the only way you can stop that is through Jesus Christ. How do I do that? You confess him as your Savior, know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and then you ask him to forgive you for your sins, and then you just pick up a Bible, go to our church, and start living your life as best you can for Christ. That's it. That is the gospel, and if that person is convicted, I've led people to the Lord with just that simplicity. Not saying, well, you know, the Satan's and your father and all that other stuff. You know, you don't have to do that stuff. It's all true, but you don't have to do it because they're under conviction. They're under conviction.
That'll do it.
So if you're looking at a tree that's not bearing fruit, okay, if that's the case and you're looking at that kind of a tree, okay, know that a door could open. That's why it's important to have the discernment when you talk to somebody. And you know what? Discern rightly. How do you discern right? Judge righteously, I know. Judge righteously is when we judge by Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if June says to me, I don't like your beard, then she's judging unrighteously because she's not judging from the Bible, right? But if she said to me, you know, the Bible says that men aren't to have short hair, so you better start growing. Well, yeah. That might be a problem.
But, I'm still short.
Yeah. So anyway, what were you going to say, Wayne?
Yeah, I get the scripture for that about fruit.
Oh, go ahead. Proof scripture for...
Matthew 12. You want to turn to Matthew 12.
But what's the proof scripture for?
33. Matthew 12, 33. It says, they're talking about how, I don't know what you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, gets back to that. And it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. They speak of the clergy here. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. For the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Boom. That backs up everything I just said. So, the application is when you come across fruit that you think is not good fruit, then the application is know who you're dealing with and know that there may or may not be a door there. That's the application. There's nothing that you're going to... See, sometimes application is be ready. That's what the second coming is. You know, you could sit there and say, well, when he comes, what about the angels and the clap of a thing and a twinkling of an eye? What about all of that? I don't care about all of that. I just care that I'm ready and I'm watching. It's simple, right? Isn't that right? That's what I'm supposed to do. So the application there is to be ready and willing. So the same thing when you're dealing with somebody that may be dead, or most of the time you are dealing with dead people, right?
Yeah.
Is to understand what you're dealing with, and the application is act accordingly. You can't talk the Bible to people that are dead. They don't get it. 2 Corinthians 2:14, Romans 8:7, and a host of other verses say the same thing. So instead, talk in generalities if the door is open about it. You're having a family dinner and your kid comes in and he's not saved. He's sitting down and you say, wait a minute, we're going to pray. Oh, you're going to do that again? Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad. But just humor me, okay? What you're doing when you do that is, and you pray out loud, what you're doing when you do that is you're talking to the dead person the right way. You're showing him what you're doing. You understand that he's dead, and you even agree with him that he's dead. Because when he says, oh, you're going to do that again, he's proving that he's dead. You understand? And when you pray, that's the conviction. That's the application. Application is not that difficult if you just clear your mind of all the baloney that you have in it about what you're supposed to do. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And if that's true, then relax. Whatever situation you're in, just relax. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Imagine this. I've done this with wood carving. Somebody, I didn't know this at the time, but this elderly person was a student of mine, and she was on Coumadin. Is that what you call it?
Coumadin.
A blood thinner.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. And she's got a razor sharp knife and she's carving wood, right? So she gets all done, right? And she says to me, she says, huh, imagine that. I didn't even have to go to the emergency room. And I looked at her like, what do you mean you didn't have to go to the emergency room? So I'm on Coumadin. I said, why didn't you tell me that before you started? So I looked at it afterwards, and I was a Christian, and I said, Lord, I just thank you for that. That's the application, to trust in Him to do all things. It could have not been that way, but He did it, and He deserved the glory and the worship to do it. It's not a question of anything except relaxing and looking for the spiritual connection. Yeah. Hostile.
You're close to them, but he's lashing out because he's bitter and he's angry, and if things aren't going his way, so I'm the closest to him.
He's dead.
And you get it.
He's dead. I told you what to do. I told you what to do, girl. I did. I told you to go over to him and give him a hug and say, you know something, Dad, you're a mean, grouchy old guy, but I still love you. I still love you, and give him a kiss.
Sometimes it works, and sometimes he doubles up on the sarcasm. And I mean, I just find myself here lately just trying to stay away from him. times a day. I always used to answer every time. Now I'm finding I'm slacking off. But is that wrong on my part?
Staying away from your father for the reasons that you just gave is not helping your father at all. The reason is because you're the only ray of grace that he'll ever see in your family. He'll see it nowhere else. So what you're doing is you're excommunicating him from your from God's grace that's in you.
But it's to keep me from snapping at him sometimes.
No, then it's your pride. Then you need to confess your pride, and you need to think about this way.
Because every once in a great while, he'll push and push and push, and I'll be like, you know, I'll just dab, and I'll say something stupid and walk out.
So let me ask you a question. How hard do you think it was for Jesus Christ to push on his legs to get his diaphragm so he could breathe? How hard do you think it is for 3 hours? More than three, but we'll just say for three. It shouldn't be difficult for us to put up with grumpy old people. Grumpy old dead people, okay? It shouldn't be difficult for us to do that at all because you have that resolve in you. Let me just tell you something else.
When,
no, you know what it is? Okay, I'm going to use the same example. He's up 2.5 hours, right? He ain't quite done with all the sin load, and he goes, okay, I had enough. We wouldn't be here today. We'd all be in hell when we die. He didn't give up, right? And also, just for the record, anger. Anger.
Righteous anger and sinful anger.
No, I know, but I'm just saying anger as a general term. And in a sinful way.
Yeah.
Anger, jealousy, covetousness, and a couple more. All are born sins that come from one major sin. Major in the sense being it's a mother sin, which is pride.
Don't you think if in her case, if she's really have a heart to do what's right, mm-hmm. but if she doesn't make it, and what's going to happen, she'll be condemned. She'll feel condemned, and then it'll be even, she'll feel that she hasn't met up to that standard, and then she could be condemned as well in the heart.
I don't understand your question.
Well, I'm saying,
we never reached the standard. Christ reached
no,
standard.
Right.
What I'm saying is, she's trying her best, right? And
but you just said the key word. The best is, there's nothing in the world. I'll give you an example. If anybody is dealing with somebody that's lost, mm-hmm. and that person is grumpy, and you love that person, mm-hmm. remember the first rule is probably you're the only grace that person's ever going to know.
Yeah.
So you don't want to excommunicate yourself from it. Number one.
Yes.
Number two, you were given the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit that she should be calling on?
Patience
and what else?
Wisdom. Faithfulness to her father.
Kindness.
Yeah.
What about the fifth commandment? Even though he's dead, she's still liable for it. Right? Honor your parents. And what does that mean? Respect them. Okay? So if her father, and I want to tell you the other beauty part of that. Now that's the hard part. The great part of that is for her to do those things, she'll bear fruit for God and it'll be in her basket when he's up there, got his hat on, he's tallying it up. Okay, Carrie, come here. Woo! You did real well. Okay, you're over there. You'll bear fruit. So what I'm saying to you is nothing in your Christian walk is going to be easy. As Christ's Christian walk, as our leader and exemplar, wasn't easy for him. So whatever it is, if people say to me, well, you know, I've had this problem for years and I can't get over it because of this, or I had to do this for somebody and it really hurt, or this person cost me this, or this, whatever it is, anything that's negative in your life is a sin because Christ gave you the power to overcome it. I don't care what it is, up to and including death. The worst thing I can think of is the death of a child. But then again, I think as a Christian, that child's in heaven. Had that child lived, maybe that child wouldn't have went to heaven. Number one. Number two, that child, God had a plan for that child. So when you look at life from a spiritual point of view, we stop whimpering, we stop saying, I can't, and we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because that's what he tells us. And if you don't grab a hold of that, then you'll wimp your way through this life and you'll throw a few things in a basket, and when you get to heaven, you're going to be disappointed. Simple. That's why you got to have peace. And how do you get peace? You believe the Bible. I can do all things through Christ. So if I blow it, if I go up to somebody that's bearing bad fruit, and I don't recognize it, or something else happens, try again. Don't be negative about it. The worst thing you can do is be in a situation that's negative and walk away from it with your tail between your legs, metaphorically speaking. That's the worst thing you can do. Why? Because you just leaked out joy in your faith. It's gone. It's gone. How many times has dad made you feel that way? You walk out, yung. It's a sin. And you know what? I'll tell you something else. You probably never repented from any of those sins. Okay. All right. Most people wouldn't do that. Okay. So what I'm saying to you is, but what I'm saying to you is, you have the power to deal with the devil. You can certainly deal with your father. I rest my case.
How was that?
Was that good?
Give me a hug. I'm
crazy. I love it.
It's all right.
Hey, you got to go.
Oh, that's right. Just
how about when you're angry at the true cat and you've had enough of it?
Well, then again, it's pride. It's pride.
This morning.
Yeah.
I threw out the door and said, I
did that before. I lived with a cat that for 19 years he vomited for 19 years every day. I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and step in what I used to call landmines. And I didn't kill him or put him to sleep. I didn't do that.
This was good for me because it was good because you know I deal with nights, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So I got to learn how to be more like, you know. Also.
You do?
I'm getting better though.
Yeah.
There's
that's
all
good.
Kinds of anger.
Because you know you can do it.
Yes.
All right. We're going to close here for now.